Hello, and welcome to The Analytic Angle, a podcast brought to you from the Statistics, Data Science, and Data Management Corps in the HIV Center at the New York State Psychiatric Institute and Columbia University. In this episode, we discuss common issues we encounter when we help with grant applications, especially the pet peeves that really bother us. Hi, this is Kale.
Hi, this is Martina.
Martina, today I thought that we could talk about something that we work on quite often, which are grant applications for clinical trials, which a lot of people come to us for help writing statistical sections or doing sample size or power calculations. And I thought we could talk about that process a little bit and maybe discuss some of the top issues we see when working on clinical trial grant applications.
I love this because I have so many pet peeves about it. And I don't have a place where I can vocalize them.
Well, you can do that here.
So one of my biggest issues often is that people or researchers put too many hypotheses that they want to test in their primary and secondary aim. They, for instance, want to say that the subject will benefit the treatment based on, and now they start naming like psychological measures and biological measures, and each psychological measure has another 15 variables, and biological measure has something else measured. And just because they swoosh these 20 different outcomes into a nice one English word, it doesn't make it better.
Yeah, I think it's probably coming from a place where they want to show how great the treatment is, right? So they want to show all these things it does. But like you said, they end up including so many different measurements for one type of concept or so many different hypothesis tests in those early aims. What's your suggestion? Instead of doing that, what should people do?
Well, they should pick one. I mean, they should show efficacy on that one important measure. And why just one is because that if they want to show the efficacy of new treatment on 20 different measures, then they have to actually protect against one of those measures becoming significant just by random chance. And if they actually use a 20 different outcomes in their primary aim, then they actually will have to Bonferroni their alpha divided by 20, and it will dramatically, they will lose the power. So I would suggest pick the one measure that is most likely to come out significant and use that as the door opener to additional analyses. The primary aim is to show it worked. The treatment has worked and improved something for those subjects, and it doesn't have to improve everything. Additionally, if they, for instance, use even just three outcomes for their primary aim, that the subject has been helped in quality of life, it has been helped in some psychological measure, and it has been helped in some biological measure. Now they are standing in front of decision, when is the trial going to be successful? Do they request all three measures to be significant, or could it be just one of them? Because if it's just one of them, then it's basically a fishing expedition for a significant p-value. If it has to be all three of them, they're being very stringent towards themselves. So again, my suggestion, pick one measure, be very clear about it, and that is your primary aim. The secondary aim then can be multiple measures, and then we have the greatest aim of them all, the exploratory aim, which is always the most interesting aim.
That makes sense. So your suggestion is that all of those great ideas for those additional measures, additional thoughts on how the treatment might improve things, those should really belong perhaps in the secondary or the exploratory aims.
Yes. This is one of my biggest pet peeves. And often the researchers, they know that my English is not so good. They just trying to say slightly different English sentence and hide the multiple measures in it. And it's not working. This is not the way to go around it. But Gil, do you have a pet peeve about grant applications?
Well, I think tied to communicating exactly what you want to study, It's tough for me when the outcomes of interest, they're not really defined very well. They're not operationalized well.
Yeah.
This comes up a lot because often I am the person who ends up doing, for instance, the sample size calculations. And even though people have put a lot of thought into other aspects of their grant, it sometimes feels like they've never really thought about how they're operationalizing their outcome. What do they mean by improvement? Are they looking for just a mean change? Are they looking for people to perhaps cross some threshold of change at the end of the study?
Yeah.
And, you know, very often the way they define success, especially at first, before they have our meetings with us, is quite vague.
Yeah. Often also they miss in those primary aims, there is no sort of timing added. We don't know whether they look for improvement over the time of the study or improvement at the end. Those have actually different statistical implications, and I think operationalization in terms of timing also needs to be very strictly specified. So when someone reads the grant application, they should very clearly know how actually this is going to be done, what formulas are going to be used for operationalization. Often I give my students an example that if a researcher chooses to investigate whether money equals happiness, then they have to operationalize what does it mean what does it mean money, and what does it mean happiness. Is it happiness this morning? Is it happiness in the last 5 days? Is it happiness over past months? My general outlook in life. You see how the timing actually plays a role in the operationalization? Then is it happiness based on a questionnaire? Is it happiness that is measurable with some sort of a... This needs to be all decided. And I know it's a simple example, but many times we see these issues with operationalization in the grant applications, and they actually pose then big problem later on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's reflecting the fact that perhaps we both have concrete personalities. We want things defined because we like those definitions. But also it has real implications for how you design the study and then how you're going to present the analysis for the study. You want to be able to communicate to grant reviewers that you've thought all of this stuff through.
Yep.
And so it's very important, I think, to have a good operationalized outcome.
Also, if one doesn't operationalize the outcome very clearly in a grant application, they are running the risk that the reviewer will actually have a different operationalization in mind, and they will read the grant thinking their operationalization is happening, and then they might actually disagree with some of the ways or how it is analyzed or anything else done with the data. So leaving it vague is giving the reviewers opportunity to impute their own ideas into the grant application. And I've seen it a lot in grant review sections where the reviewers actually are trying to guess what the researchers meant. And their guesses often might not be exactly what the researcher meant. So writing down what you mean is really, really important. So this also comes down with writing down what you mean has to be clear.
Oh, yeah, that definitely leads to another one. And it might be, you know, partially because we're often working on projects where we are the statistical experts, but we're definitely not the experts in the content area. Like, we don't necessarily know all the terminology involved in the particular system that researchers want to study. And so it can be really confusing when people are writing up their grant if they start using kind of synonymous phrases that kind of mean the same thing, instead of using the same clear terminology over and over again. And it causes me frequently to be like scrolling back up in the grant to understand if something they're referring to with a slightly different phrase or series of words is actually, you know, the previous topic, the previous exposure or outcome or whatever it is.
Yeah. One of those examples is when people talk about body composition, and then they maybe measure weight and BMI, but also they have, for instance, fat ratio, and then they suddenly later in the grant say, well, we will see how the body composition, well, which one of those body compositions, or do you, it's very unclear at the end for the person who is not exactly expert in that field, and most of the reviewers, again, are not experts in that particular field, and they're trying to guess what the person thought about. So I always tell the researchers we work with that they're writing a grant proposal, grant application, not a novel, and repeating the same definitions or the same words over and over again is not only welcomed but encouraged.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I think you have to remember, usually you're getting one real shot at explaining yourself to the reviewers who are reading the grant, right? And so you want to be clear, and even if it sort of sounds repetitive to use the exact same phrases or the exact same term for something, it's actually really helpful, especially if that reviewer maybe doesn't know all the ins and outs of your content area.
Yeah. Repetitive terminology actually can be soothing to the reviewer because they can kind of feel like, okay, I know what they're talking about. I have seen those words before. And trying to say it differently will just confuse everyone.
Well, we've been talking a bit, you know, about defining outcomes and terminology, being really specific. And that definitely relates to the parts of the grants that we work on most, which are the analysis side, in addition to calculating things like sample size and power. But we also often do look at the grants, the earlier part of the grants, where they're using, for instance, preliminary studies to justify their current application. And I know that you really have strong feelings about the way people talk about pilot studies in that section.
I have a lot of strong feelings about a lot of things, but yes, I think often people misuse the results of pilot studies, and they think that pilot study should inform their power analyses about the effect size that they should expect. And that is an absolute misuse of pilot studies that will pretty much most likely backfire for the researcher, because their power is not going to be estimated, and very likely it will be overestimated in the study. The pilot studies are here to show us that the treatment is doable, that the treatment is acceptable, that there are mechanisms that might potentially work, but we cannot use the pilot studies effect size and just power for that, because if we could estimate effect size using pilot studies, then why would we need a larger R01 study? that makes no sense. So the misuse of pilot studies and the way how they present it is often detrimental in the grant applications. What do you think, Cale?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that that way of saying it, you know, if you were able to get a specific effect size estimate from a pilot study, why would you need to move on to this larger study? I think it's a good way of pointing out, as you said, that the purpose of pilot studies is not to get that effect size. And I think we have another podcast episode about that if you're interested in listening to us discuss that topic in more detail.
Yes. So pilot studies, we can talk about it for a very long time, but do we have another issues? I have one, if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
I actually think this is not really an issue with the grant application, but with management of the grant application. And that is that the researchers often come to us as a statisticians a couple weeks before the grant is due. And their request is, oh, I just need a power calculation and two sentences about power. But they don't realize that in order to do a power calculation, we actually have to look how many hypotheses you are testing in primary aim, for instance. We have to look about to how the outcome is operationalized. We had to see how the terminology fits. And suddenly, it's 2 weeks before the grant is due, and there are many issues in the grant that prevent us from actually computing the power, and that needs to be corrected. And I think this is one of the biggest issues, that people just come to quant experts or statisticians a little bit too late.
Yeah, it's understandable. There's a lot of different pieces that go into a grant application, and everyone is human, so I get the instinct to do certain things at the last minute. But I think there kind of needs to be a myth dispelled that stuff like the sample size or power calculation is this tacked on thing that you just kind of add at the end of the process, instead of it really is or should be something that you're thinking about more from an earlier stage. And so I think that's why it makes a lot of sense to talk to your statisticians or your quantitative team earlier in the process.
Absolutely. I think one should connect with statisticians when they are discussing or thinking about the primary aims in the study, and when they sort of trying to design the study. And that's a moment when a short consultation with statisticians might be much more helpful than just going at the end wanting to compute power.
Yeah, and just to plug another one of our episodes, we actually discussed that as well alongside Richard, and when it's good to talk to data systems managers about your grant applications.
Yep. So I think at the end, these issues, if one thinks about them ahead of time and start solving them while writing the grant, will actually result in a shortened amount of time they need to work on the grant, because there will be less rewriting. It will be much clearer from the start. And involving statisticians from the start, I think, will actually improve the grant writing overall and will make it more efficient from the start.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I mean, statisticians are usually going to have a pretty quantitative approach to things, and so they're going to know how to express things like operationalization very clearly.
Maybe you will take our advice into account, and next time we'll hear from you earlier than 2 weeks before the grant is due. And this concludes another episode of our podcast, The Analytic Angle, from the Statistics, Data Science, and Data Management Core in HIV Center for Clinical and Behavioral Studies.